From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now, or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They called me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Andrew the Triforce Howard. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. That makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. Guys, do you remember daytime TV talk shows?
Boy, do I ever. Bring back daytime TV talk shows. That's what I say.
Yeah. What were your favorites?
I'm joking. I just have a very distinct memory of watching, I think it was... I think it was Jerry Springer, but I maybe mentioned this on the show before, when I was probably in my early teens, like 12, 13, I saw this thing. There was a segment where it was this like white supremacist family, like being interviewed on Jerry Springer, and they were just using the most hateful, like despicable language. And it was just on TV. And I was just shocked by that. And it sticks with me to this day. It said some really terrible things. And I was like, this is okay. This is what we're allowing to be the source of like chair throwing kind of escapades.
This is TV, and one of those hosts later attained political power based kind of on the talk show.
Is that true?
Yeah, I think Jerry Springer.
Well,
yeah.
No, wasn't he? I think he was, that was before.
Oh, it was before.
I think he was a
politician. Well, he got a talk show off
yes,
the politics.
Exactly.
Revolving doors.
Oh, and you know, Dr. Oz made himself a fancy little closet in the new administration.
yes.
Mehmet.
Quite so. Yeah. Yes, yes. Our old friend, Dr. Mehmet Oz. We wish him a great several weeks in position.
Wait, is he in the position?
Given the turnaround.
Is he really?
He's running Medicaid and Medicare, I believe, officially.
Is this
he
new?
Just got confirmed.
He got confirmed.
It
was in the wind for a while.
Well, you know, boys, no matter how flat you make a pancake, there's always two sides. That's Dr. Phil.
And that reminds us of folks like Sally Jesse Raphael, Maury Povich, Jerry Springer, of course, Dr. Phil. These television stations in the United States were absolutely riddled with daytime talk shows in the era, that halcyon time of the 1990s to the early 2000s, and they were so prolific that they created their own sort of internal genres. And one of the internal genres, in addition to look at these white supremacist yahoos, was the idea of finding bad kids and setting them straight by scaring them, just like the like a more intensive version of the program some public schools still do, where you take kids to talk to prisoners
and they yell at
to
you.
See a jail,
right?
Yeah, don't make my mistake. Stamp fraud is not for winners.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, and 37 cents a pop.
Yeah, exactly. We've seen very recent reenactments of that, lampooning of that on Saturday Night Live, when I think it was on the 25th anniversary special, they did another one of their Scared Straight sketches.
It was also
Keenan and other people go through and do that very thing we're talking about.
It was also an Arrested Development, I think, where Jeffrey Tambor's character, who's incarcerated, he does a Scared Straight thing,
and
to some kids.
We'd be remiss to not point out the legendary Key and Peele. They have a fantastic sketch of this is all a comedy. They have a fantastic sketch of a recovering criminal who goes to speak at a public assembly, or the assembly at a school, and no spoilers, somewhat embellishes his story. What we're telling you today, what we're exploring today, fellow conspiracy realist, is not embellishment. It is true that a rogues gallery of daytime talk TV crews and producers, they made a lot of money by appearing to take kids on the wrong path and giving them life-changing lessons about the consequences of their actions, shaping them up into sober, by-the-books, 5x5 future citizen assets of the United States. This was, I think, the TV talk show part. I see that as a watershed moment for all sorts of terrible things, because it really pushed the American public to approve of tonight's subject, shock incarceration.
Yeah, I think so. But there were real programs like that through juvenile corrections systems that would be like a go to a school and talk. I mean, that was a real thing. It wasn't just in the realm of, you know, show it on TV or, you know, show it off on a talk show. This was a real thing, this concept of scaring the crap out of kids.
It still is a real thing, even as we record this evening. Let's pause for a small word from our sponsors, and then we're going to dive into the concept. Hey, fellow veterans in the crowd, do you like boot camp? What if it was for kids?
Peace to the planet. I go by the name of Charlamagne Tha God, and guess what? I can't wait to see y'all at the 3rd annual Black Effect Podcast Festival. That's right. We're coming back to Atlanta, Georgia, Saturday, April 26th at Pullman Yards, and it's hosted by none other than Decisions Decisions, Mandy B, and Weezy, okay? We got the R&B Money Podcast with Tank and Jay Valentine. We got the Woman of All Podcast with Sarah Jake Roberts. The Funky Friday Podcast with Cam Newton. The Naked Sports Podcast with Carrie Champion. Good Mom, Bad Choices Podcast. The Trap Nerd Podcast. And many more will be on that stage live. And of course, it's bigger than podcasts. We're bringing the Black Effect Marketplace with Black-owned businesses, plus the food truck court to keep you fed while you visit us, all right? Listen, you don't want to miss this. Tap in and grab your tickets now at blackeffect.com/podcastfestival.
There's a lot in life that feels like it should be guaranteed that just isn't. Fortunately, AT&T guarantees connectivity you can depend on, or they'll make it right. AT&T, connecting changes everything. Terms and conditions apply. Visit att.com/guarantee to learn more.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? Wash away your worries with Anabay. Anabay is the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabric. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Shop washablesofas.com for up to 60% off site-wide, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change, and certain restrictions may apply.
Happening now at legendary Cocoa Beach.
Fast boats, big parties, and hot concerts converge on Florida's Space Coast with the return of Thunder on Cocoa Beach. 4 days of racing and fun. Thunder on Cocoa Beach features Class 1 boats racing at speeds over 175 miles per hour. Thunder on Cocoa Beach, one of Central Florida's most popular family-friendly attractions, returns for its 16th year on May 15th through 18th. Find out more at legendarycocoabeach.com. That's legendarycocoabeach.com. Find the full weekend schedule and buy VIP and premium viewing at cocoabeach.com.
Still getting around to that fix on your car? You got this. On eBay, you'll find millions of parts guaranteed to fit. Doesn't matter if it's a major engine repair or your first time swapping your windshield wipers. eBay has that part you need, ready to click perfectly into place. For changes big and small, loud or quiet, find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. But you already know that. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Here are the facts. All right. Shock incarceration, short name SI. You can read about it in all sorts of research that we had to read. There's a lot of stuff on OJP.gov regarding this. It's on paper. It sounds really good. It's both compassionate while still being tough on crime, an alternative to traditional imprisonment in the U.S. penal system. It's usually meant for nonviolent first-time offenders, and they're often young. Now, as we'll see, it goes state by state. There have been federal programs, but the vibe they all have is that they're modeled after military programs.
Yeah, 100%. I actually have been working for the last year or so on a podcast about this. Within the main subject is a guy who went through this program, and the podcast is In a Burst of Creativity called Shock Incarceration, and it comes out in June. So there's definitely an inside perspective on somebody that went through one of these programs, the version that's for adults, like in the U.S. penal system that you were mentioning, Ben.
Yeah, and let's go ahead at the top. Just address the name, because that name is shocking.
It is,
if you will. When you hear shock incarceration, it summons thoughts, at least in my mind, of alternative methods for controlling someone's, let's say, mental health issues back like in the day. Treatment? Yeah,
I mean, well, it does evoke that kind of imagery. You're 100%
shock that. is definitely a choice, nomenclature wise. Yes.
Makes you think of Shock Troopers, maybe, if you're aware of that at all.
It
makes
shock you, and awe.
You electricity, know? Injury. Yes,
it just feels, it's got that visceral tone to it, that when you hear it, it sounds like it's something worse than being sent, being just incarcerated. Oh, you're getting shock incarcerated? Yeah. Holy crap.
Sounds awful.
But yeah, what is the difference just between being incarcerated or going through shock incarceration?
Right. So proponents will tell you it is somewhat of a Goldilocks zone. You are put in the military, kind of. You're put in a military-themed thing. So the requirements are less restrictive than actual facts prison. Shout out to Lauren Vogelbaum. We always love crediting. Good catchphrase. But it's still more rigorous than something like simple probation, wherein perhaps you take a driving course or a substance abuse or an anger management course, and then you check in, you know, once a month with a probation officer. So it's between those. The term that DOJ often uses is intermediate sanction. This is a very old idea. Per the Department of Justice, the first programs of this nature, they surfaced in Oklahoma and in Stuff They Don't Want You to Know's home state of Georgia way back in 1983. So in a very real sense, Noel and Matt, this has been around for the entirety of you guys' lives.
Well, and it's like a goal. You know, you could look at it as a get-out-of-jail-free card. Like, it could be pitched that way, where it's like, okay, you could be getting a 4-year sentence for some sort of high-level drug offense, though nonviolent. But instead, you could do this really... really,
3 months.
3 months.
You know, or 180 days.
180 days of the most unpleasant conditions you could possibly imagine. And hey, you might learn something too, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a plea bargain, basically. I mean, it is in a form of, like, you know, trying to offer this, an alternative.
It's an intervention.
There you go.
Yes. And we'll talk about how it differs in some of the states. There are a few examples we'll tell you about from Missouri where that number, that 3 months number, goes down to 100 days, to 30 days, to 15 days, to even 2 days in prison, with this same concept of you're going to spend a tiny bit of time in prison to understand what you could get yourself into if you continue down the path, you know, as some mentor talking to you or something.
Sure.
But it's all part of some form of sentencing that is modified.
Modified, yes, not always meaning improved, although that is what they're going for. Yeah, and, you know, this is not unfamiliar. We could say the Stuff They Don't Want You to Know extended cinematic universe could have one hell of a video called One Night in Gen Pop. But these programs exist. They didn't come out of whole cloth either. The idea is you're going to scare... Usually the way they pitch it is you scare kids straight, but really they mean nonviolent first-time offenders, and you do so with aggressive training, rehabilitation programs. The better ones will have substance abuse education, psychological treatment, counseling, career development, what we call community reintegration. Stuff that sounds great. I mean, let's be honest, folks. We've all seen kids headed down the wrong path toward a criminal adulthood. And no judgment, fellow conspiracy realist, some of us in the audience tonight have been that kid. And the scary thing is, I think everybody in this country knows the U.S. justice system or penal system is broken. It has a terrible track record, right? Everybody knows that going to prison can sometimes be like going to crime university. Recidivism is off the charts. So the logic there does feel sound. Getting to kids early, or getting to a nonviolent first-time offender early because of one mistake, it can maybe save that individual and save the country overall a lot of heartbreak. It's kind of like, you know, investing in community is not politically popular, but it is one of the best long-term investments a government can make. The Hope Scholarship, by the way, I always think of it this way when I'm talking with folks, the Hope Scholarship, in a very real way, saved a lot of people from getting their radios stolen from their cars because it gave people an alternative to crime.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. No, it stopped me from stealing radios. Sure. So I got into GSU.
Do people still steal radios? I guess it's so hard. Well,
not anymore.
They don't slot out like they used to.
Well, they steal radios, but now they're just phones.
There you go.
So in some states, or I guess technically in a lot of states in the U.S., enrollment in an SI program is sort of voluntary. Like you were saying, Noel, it's a way to avoid a harsher sentence. You can get sentenced to shock incarceration by a judge the same way you get sentenced to prison. But I believe, check me here, guys, I believe that the accused or the defendant does always technically have the right to say, no, I don't want 90 days in this boot camp. Send me to prison for 4 years. I think they technically have the right to refuse that intermediate sanction.
Well, yeah, it is weird because it is the thing that comes during the sentencing part of a trial, right? So it's after a jury has, or a judge has found a defendant guilty. This is when even the possibility of some kind of modified shock detention or incarceration is available. There are a couple specific things we could get into, like one in Missouri that I think would illustrate this a little bit. But my understanding is that the defendant, when being sentenced, has to essentially agree to it. Like you have to say, yes, I will do that. And then I will, you know, spend however many years or months on probation after this shock thing ends.
Right. Yeah, that's correct. That's exactly what we're saying. We've got this, we've got a lot of rights in this country as we record on Monday, April 14th, 2025. I don't know how that'll age. We've got a lot of rights in this country in a courtroom that a lot of people are not aware of. And think about it. You're at a tremendously stressful moment of your life. It reminds me of, there's so many old powerful tropes here. It reminds me of a thing you used to see a lot back in, you know, the 40s or the 50s, where they would say you can go to prison or you can enroll in the army and make something of yourself. Or, you know, the worst case, you can try to get out of the country and join the French Foreign Legion.
Hey, there you go.
It's a big dream of ours if this podcast stuff doesn't work out. And I can't wait to hear our French Foreign Legion monikers. Write to us if you ever joined the French Foreign Legion.
I would love to hear that. In Missouri, there were situations where shock detention was part of the plea deal that was given to defendants. Mm-hmm. So it was that kind of, if you agree to this as you plead guilty of this crime that we say you've committed, then, you know, you only spend 30 days in jail and then spend 2 years on probation.
And it sounds good, but we have to realize there's some devious devil in the details stuff there, right? Because first off, you're admitting to a crime that you may not have committed, right? Or you don't have the financial wherewithal to get something aside from a public defender. We say that with great affection for public defenders, but their cases, their caseloads are harrowing. They're overwhelmed, right? It's very difficult. And money does move the justice system. So you're given a choice, like you were saying, Matt, that sounds way better. All I have to do is say, yeah, fine. I am guilty of whatever, right? And in doing so, I can get just 90 days or 30 days or 180 days versus a 4, 5, or 10 year prison sentence. Sign me up. I can do push-ups. I'll make it.
Yeah, it is like a partial no-lo kind of thing.
Which is when you don't say that you're guilty, but you say nolo contendere is going, ah.
Yeah. Which is kind of weird. I've done that before when I got into a car accident when I was a very young kid, because it was that kind of thing where I've never done anything wrong before, but now I find myself in court because I got into an accident, and okay, plead this thing, you get out of it in a different kind of way. But in this case, I mean, it is a little bit, it's not exactly the same, but it does function in the same way where it is as though you got in trouble and is on your record in a lot of ways, but it is not the same as spending years in prison for something.
Right. Yeah. One of the big pulls that people use when they're arguing in favor of this is to say that it will not interfere with future job prospects as deeply and damagingly, I don't know if that's a word, as you know, prison time will be. And I just want to spend a sec on this because I love that we have nolo contendere. It's technically a legal plea in the U.S. justice system because it's 100% like being in a long-term relationship and deciding not to argue.
I did it.
Sure, whatever.
It's my fault.
We'll go to whatever restaurant you want. Damn. So that is... We're providing some levity because we need to have this. Put simply, shock incarceration is legal. It's a messy bag of badgers. It's a sloppy bowl of spaghetti because states will have different requirements, metrics, and oversight or lack of oversight. And there are also federal programs. It is correctional boot camp. And when it works, it does work. We want to be clear about that. You can find multiple accounts. You might know some people. You might be a person who went through this, and you might credit a lot of your modern success to that experience. It's just like that old trope we all heard of the bad kid getting sent off to military school, right? Sure. And later he becomes a general.
A hollow threat. Well, yeah, maybe except when it's not, and then they become a general. But I swear, every time I bring this topic up and talk to people about this podcast that I've been working on, the first question they ask is, I'm sorry, what? And is that's legal? And yeah, it is legal. I mean, it's shocking. Pun totally intended, when you hear about this and think that it seems like such a weird kind of cruel workaround, like almost like humiliating in a way. I don't know. It's very, very interesting.
Very much so. I mean, here's the issue. These programs, when they spread, you could almost call it, in some ways, the social dynamic in the zeitgeist is similar to a moral panic. Right? Like the satanic panic. People were saying, hey, we got to, you know, crime is through the roof. We got to nip this in the bud. So these programs are tough on crime, but they're still compassionate. Again, a phrase we'll go back to pretty often. However, to your point, Noel, these programs are not without controversy. Want to give a shout out to an adjacent show, if you're interested in this idea of scaring kids straight and what can go wrong, please check out Camp Hell. It is a show in our network exploring the Anawake Treatment Center for Emotionally Disturbed Youth in Douglasville, Georgia. And just like these SI boot camps, there's a troubling lack of transparency and accountability in a lot of these programs.
And Anawake, Camp Hell, that show hosted by Josh Thane, it's a fascinating case because that place, that physical rehabilitation camp or wilderness camp, as they called it, has been around since the 1960s. And it was just kind of a thing that you could send, quote, troubled youth to. right. as part of sentencing that was occurring in Georgia. People get sentenced there. It was also happening. They had camps in Florida and a couple other places.
New Mexico.
And they these would be like work camps, basically, where you would be put to hard labor and then go, you know, sleep in a bunk somewhere. Mm. In that case, just if you do end up going down the route and listening to Camp Hell, there was a whole lot of child sexual abuse and other stuff going on at the at all of the camps, actually, that were run by the people who ran Anawakie.
Yeah, it's not a story that's appropriate for maybe the kiddos in the crowd, but it is a story that needs to be told, and we're proud that it's out there in the world. And you know, that illustrates another point, Matt. Not all of these camps, these SI facilities, are created equally. Some are more therapeutic or rehabilitative. Others seem to focus entirely on harsh physical exercise, discipline, doing drills over and over and over again, because you can't call them choreography in the military. You have to call them drills, sort of like how a G.I. Joe is an action figure and not a doll. Anyway, so there are few dependable, robust statistics on how we would measure a success rate, how we would measure the effects of recidivism, how many institutions are open, or the numbers of deaths that occur at these facilities. That's right, deaths. Some are out in the open and have been admitted. Some have been explained away through nebulous things like undiagnosed medical condition or overdose. Some are, we maintain, simply covered up. So what do you say, guys? You want to take a word from our sponsors and then dive in?
Sounds good.
Peace to the planet. I go by the name of Charlamagne Tha God, and guess what? I can't wait to see y'all at the 3rd annual Black Effect Podcast Festival. That's right. We're coming back to Atlanta, Georgia, Saturday, April 26th at Pullman Yards, and it's hosted by none other than Decisions, Mandy B, and Weezy, okay? We got the R&B Money Podcast with Tank and Jay Valentine. We got the Woman of All Podcast with Sarah Jake Roberts. The Funky Friday Podcast with Cam Newton. The Naked Sports Podcast with Carrie Champion. Good Moms, Bad Choices Podcast. The Trap Nerds Podcast, and many more will be on that stage live. And of course, it's bigger than podcasts. We're bringing the Black Effect Marketplace with Black-owned businesses, plus the food truck court to keep you fed while you visit us, all right? Listen, you don't want to miss this. Tap in and grab your tickets now at blackeffect.com/podcastfestival.
There's a lot in life that feels like it should be guaranteed that just isn't. Fortunately, AT&T guarantees connectivity you can depend on, or they'll make it right. AT&T, connecting changes everything. Terms and conditions apply. Visit att.com/guarantee to learn more.
Let's be real. Life happens. Kids spill, pets shed, and accidents are inevitable. That's why you need a washable sofa that can keep up. Our sofas are fully machine washable, inside and out, so you can say goodbye to stains and hello to worry-free living. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, they're kid-proof, pet-friendly, and built for everyday life. Plus, changeable fabric covers let you refresh your sofa whenever you want. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa anytime to fit your space, whether it's a growing family room or a cozy apartment. Plus, they're earth-friendly and trusted by over 200,000 happy customers. Starting at just $699, it's time to upgrade to a stress-free, mess-proof sofa. Visit washablesofas.com today and save. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Happening now at legendary Cocoa Beach. Fast boats, big parties, and hot concerts converge on Florida's Space Coast with the return of Thunder on Cocoa Beach. 4 days of racing and fun. Thunder on Cocoa Beach features Class 1 boats racing at speeds over 175 miles per hour. Thunder on Cocoa Beach, one of Central Florida's most popular family-friendly attractions, returns for its 16th year on May 15th through 18th. Find out more at legendarycocoabeach.com. That's legendarycocoabeach.com. Find the full weekend schedule and buy VIP and premium viewing at cocoabeach.com.
You ever try fixing your car and realize you're missing that one part? Yeah, been there. That's why eBay's my go-to. They've got millions of parts, guaranteed to fit. I'm talking brake pads for when yours have seen one too many miles of stop and go. Oil filters, because you don't mess around with your engine care. Even got this cold air intake on my watch list. I might just go for it to keep the ride cool and your DIY streak hot. Find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Here's where it gets crazy. There are immensely troubling statistics, and there are tendencies to paint with a broad brush. So to be quite clear, when we say first-time nonviolent offenders, yes, folks in these specific boot camps are typically under the age of 30. They're not all children. And again, all these things are not created equally. So for instance, you might spend a weekend in jail, right? Which is way different from being carted off to a place for a summer.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So why are these statistics troubling when we talk about statistics?
Well, the statistics that I've been looking at for this are really focused on recidivism, right? So if a first-time offender goes through this shock detention program, shock incarceration, do they have the same chance of returning back to prison at some point as somebody who went through a regular, what they would call just being incarcerated, right? That's what everybody seems to be focused on. And as we dive into some of the numbers here, we find that the recidivism rates officially, at least in states like Missouri and a couple of other places, the rates are just a tiny bit lower than regular old incarceration, going to prison for years.
Well, and the problem is it's just not particularly transparent. I mean, there aren't any very robust statistics at all about how many of these boot camps exist in the United States. And this, to your point, Matt, is a function of the kind of amorphous state-by-state legislation and paired with, not particularly streamlined federal version of the programs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you jump to Missouri, the New York University Law Review talked about this way back in 2008, you guys, and they were looking at recidivism rates at that time of the shock programs that exist specifically for DWI offenders. And so they took DWI offenders, which make up 6.7% of all of the quote offender population in Missouri. And when they looked at the recidivism rates of all of those people in that population, they found that a standard prison year term for years had roughly a 31% recidivism rate, but the 120-day shock program had about a 23.6% recidivism rate, which is, you know, lowered by 5% roughly or something, which it is that, you know, is that statistically different?
Well, I mean, statistics about incarceration and about, you know, rehabilitation, I guess, and integration back into society and stuff seem to me to always struggle with, you know, truly being able to pull out the reality of the situation out of those numbers, just because of so many kind of intervening factors that aren't apparent, that aren't kind of readily apparent. I don't know. It just seems to me.
No, like, yeah. I agree with you. You know, like this sounds, look, we're not casting aspersion on whomever wrote the report in Missouri. The question, Matt, you're having is this statistically significant? And what you're saying, Noel, is, yeah, it's difficult to tell because of all those intervening variables. And this goes to our further point that there are, like, the headline word here is overall, there are no genuine statistics and metrics available for these programs overall. You will find state-by-state stuff. Missouri's one example. I've been very deep into the Florida horrors and New York State as well. There, like, you can find examples of this everywhere, but what you cannot find is an overall robust, objective view of the forest.
Oh yeah.
Because it does not exist.
Oh, you're right. But one thing I wanted to bring up with this, guys, is that same study that I was looking at, or review, I suppose, it found that the recidivism rate of those who just received probation and received no prison sentence had a recidivism rate of around 18.4%. So like that to me is significantly lower.
Yeah, but the question then becomes too is like, is that because this was someone who made a single mistake and got caught and it really spooked them? And that's sort of the scenario. I mean, does that imply like that low level offenses in general are going to likely lead to a lower recidivism rate?
Right.
Because it seems like there's a line, there's an envelope to these kind of actions, you know?
Yeah, I think it applies most apparently, it implies the importance of environment and community. So if someone has some cannabis and they get, or too much cannabis or whatever, because that's another state-by-state bag of badgers, and they get locked up, then they are put in an environment that they are not accustomed to, right? And an environment that prioritizes and rewards different things, things that are not prioritized and rewarded in a civilian community. So I would argue if you have someone on probation instead of in jail, they still are able to see their family. They're still able to sleep safely at night. I'll say it. They're able to stay a part of society, hold down a job, sure. And this, I think, is a primary difference. Now, obviously, we're not saying everybody should get on probation other than Luigi Mangione.
Oh, yeah.
We do know a great deal of people forced in these SI, shock incarceration programs, will tend to be described as ethnic minorities in this country. And it's important to remember, you know, we get a little more US-centric than I'd like on this show, but it's important to remember that things like shock incarceration exist the world round. They are in programs like this or multiple countries, but the US in particular seems to... This is a question for you guys. Why in like 2010, some of the most recent stats we have, why in 2010 were 80% of the inmates or enrollees in these programs considered ethnic minorities? I think it's a knock-on result of the justice system targeting minorities in the first place.
Absolutely.
Is that possible?
Well, I mean, yeah, and it's also like... It's a similar situation to maybe the way it once was, and I'm not speaking to, maybe there's been changes in this and it seems like that's likely, but where like the army was only an option for less privileged folks, or like, and that would ultimately, some statistically speaking, boil down to being identified as ethnic minorities, you know? I mean, it's just, it's an interesting conundrum because,
And I'd like people, you know, I'm going to just... throw this pop-up soapbox real quick. I would like the Americans to start describing ourselves in terms of the financial minority or the financial majority, because I think the class war is real.
And I agree. And I only even bring in the race element is because of the way the statistics work and the way that these things are described, you know, in these kinds of studies and in news sound bites, you know, I mean, over the years, especially, seems like
I'm with you.
Yeah. I don't know, because you're right. It is a haves and have nots situation. And then it's also about opportunity versus, you know, lack of opportunity.
Yeah. Like you said, environment, right? Cause people are people all the world round. It's how their power systems treat them that makes all the difference. And I love that we're talking history here because we need to understand how the U.S. got to this situation in the first place. As we noted at the top, the modern version of these programs begins in the 1980s here in Georgia and in Oklahoma. And it doesn't come from nothing. It comes as a response to a crisis, very much an act now situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
So when these programs begin in the 1980s, the authorities are at a crossroads, or at what George Bush would have called a decision point. Due to the war on crime, there's been a phenomenal growth in the prison industry and a phenomenal growth in the number of people getting convicted. So if you are a court of law, wherever you may be, your prison systems are severely overcrowded. If you are pushing people toward probation, right, which to that earlier point is an awesome intervention, then you're seeing so many people assigned to probation that probation officers are barely able to touch base. You know what I mean? They're like, hey, here's a 3-minute phone call or whatever.
Well, yeah, and there are even versions of probation that are unsupervised that basically just say, hey, if you get in trouble again, it's jail time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're on probation, but, you know, nobody's going to be checking in on you ever.
Yeah, honor system probation. Just try not to be a criminal for the next year.
Well, that's a thing, especially for younger first-time offenders.
Sure, especially if they have a good case of a solid community. They seem to have supportive family structure, things like that. There are a lot of we called them intervening variables earlier, but maybe we could call them soft variables. Yeah. Because sometimes it comes down to the judge opinion.
Like, is there a statistic for supportive mom and dad? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like how does that even translate to this kind of the way of pie charting things out, you know?
Yeah, because back in the day, it was supposed to be like a nuclear family, and they treated children or single parents as though they were inherently somehow inferior, which could not be further from the truth.
Sure. Let's go to another thing we were talking about, guys. So this concept of in the 1980s, there's an influx of prisoners, largely due to the war on drugs, that thing that we've talked about many a time there, especially under President Reagan's, I was going to say rain.
Yeah, like the war on crime, going all the way back to LBJ.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But this is the same time that the private prison system gets really big, right? Or because the private prison system, I didn't realize, goes back to California in the friggin' 1800s. But private prisons become a big deal because there are so many inmates, people who are potential inmates who are on their way to prison, but there's no place to house them. So then corporations come in and say, oh, well, we'll make some money here.
So we see there a financial incentive, and it's one that haunts the United States in the modern day, right? A third party private entity comes along and says, oh, you guys are looking kind of busy. You know, we can help out with this for a very reasonable percentage.
Not much different than the way prison contracts work.
It's 100% exactly the way prison contracts work. Yeah, I agree with you. And so these authorities are saying, the language they use over and over in the 80s is manage. How do we manage offenders? Do we send more people to prison and just, you know, keep throwing money into the coffers of private prison industries and entities? Do we try to spend more money on probation programs? Neither option, it turns out, is a good fit for this groundswell of juvenile first-time offenders in particular. And we have to make another point. We're talking off mic about this. It's an ugly point. People don't always want to hear. But at this juncture, the boffins and the eggheads and the DOJ folks realized that many young offenders had parents who were or had been incarcerated. And from the perspective of researchers and authorities, this prompts a great concern about what they would call intergenerational criminality. So they're searching for new ways to get in front of this, right? To stop what they see as dangerous patterns over time. And they look at what they would call intermediate sanctions. This is stuff like intensive community supervision, right? Hands-on probation, right? Or house arrest. Did you guys ever know anyone on house arrest?
Never got to see one of those ankle bracelets. Those are pretty cool. The stuff of lore. No, I think that's very much real, but I never did know anybody directly. I know people who have been through like halfway house type systems or like mandatory, you know, rehabilitation, like for, you know, drug abuse and stuff like that, which they probably get you know, paid like as contractors as well, those types of facilities. And that can also be a term of one's release, is being spending a certain amount of time in a, you know, an environment like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, like a residential community correction center.
Mm-hmm. A lot of these shock programs even have stuff that is essentially rehabilitation programs built into them.
Right.
Especially for, again, DWI offenders in some states. It's not perfect at all. My God, it's not perfect. Well, we can talk about that more, but those systems are in there as a way. Again, it gets so muddy because there are those kind of systems, those vocational systems that we were talking about at the top of this, right? Trying to help, especially younger people or people who are just, who appear to be off the right path, get them to a job, get them off drugs, get them the help that they would receive in a place that is not prison, but it's being done through the prison system.
Right. Yeah. The idea being that, you know, you don't hit day 91 and just get a Greyhound ticket off to the wild yonder. You have some kind of infrastructure to support and indeed guide you, right, toward assimilation. Because a lot of this is about assimilation into society. And so at this time, at this juncture in the 1980s, out of all the stuff they're evaluating, the house arrest, the probation, the, like you said, Noel, the halfway house approaches, boot camps, these SI programs, they take the lead because they're comparatively inexpensive and the optics feel right for the time. I'll say it once again, ostensibly compassionate, yet still tough on crime, right? And it's really feeding into that powerful trope that the electorate loves, which is send this bad person to the military. That will straighten them out. They'll learn discipline. They'll march in time and in step. And the problem is sometimes a thing can sound like a really good idea without actually being a good idea at all. Georgia and Oklahoma, oh man, they make so much news when they have this stuff in the 1980s.
Yeah, let's teach these recidivists some responsibility, make them valuable members of the community. It's also like sort of a good PR move for the complaint or the criticism that there is no rehabilitation in prison. This is like an answer to that, right? Like, no, look, see, we're actually teaching them values. We're teaching them how to work hard and all of that stuff.
Right. On this episode of Dr. Phil, the drill instructor speaks to bad Barbie or whatever.
But you mentioned it once at the top, Ben, but I guess a lot of these types of situations were depicted on some of these daytime shows. And they had these little recurring bits where they would send the bad kids to the boot camp or military school and then march them back out at the end, do the before and after kind of treatment, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You love to see it if you're a TV producer. By 1999, multiple other states are in the game. They're following the lead in Georgia and Oklahoma. There are more than 50 boot camps established. They house around a little more than 4,500 juveniles specifically. That doesn't count all first-time nonviolent offenders. Again, some who maybe is maybe in their 20s. That doesn't count the federal programs that are on the way. It's just, it's a little more than a decade in, and the proponents are loving this. They argue there are statistically significant reduction rates when it comes to recidivism, but it's already an open secret that these places can be dangerous, even deadly. So I suggest we take a pause for a word from our sponsors and get into the abuse, the controversies, the deaths.
Peace to the planet. I go by the name of Charlamagne Tha God, and guess what? I can't wait to see y'all at the 3rd annual Black Effect Podcast Festival. That's right. We're coming back to Atlanta, Georgia, Saturday, April 26th at Pullman Yards, and it's hosted by none other than Decisions Decisions, Mandy B, and Weezy, okay? We got the R&B Money Podcast with Tank and Jay Valentine. We got the Woman of All Podcast with Sarah Jake Roberts. The Funky Friday Podcast with Cam Newton. The Naked Sports Podcast with Carrie Champion. Good Moms, Bad Choices Podcast. The Trap Nerd Podcast, and many more will be on that stage live. And of course, it's bigger than podcasts. We're bringing the Black Effect Marketplace with Black-owned businesses, plus the food truck court to keep you fed while you visit us, all right? Listen, you don't want to miss this. Tap in and grab your tickets now at blackeffect.com/podcastfestival.
There's a lot in life that feels like it should be guaranteed that just isn't. Fortunately, AT&T guarantees connectivity you can depend on, or they'll make it right. AT&T, connecting changes everything. Terms and conditions apply. Visit att.com/guarantee to learn more.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. Anabe sofas combine ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. Anabe has designed the only fully machine washable sofa from top to bottom. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Sofas start at just $699. And right now, you can shop up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Happening now at legendary Cocoa Beach. Fast boats, big parties, and hot concerts converge on Florida Space Coast with the return of Thunder on Cocoa Beach. 4 days of racing and fun. Thunder on Cocoa Beach features Class 1 boats racing at speeds over 175 miles per hour. Thunder on Cocoa Beach, one of Central Florida's most popular family-friendly attractions, returns for its 16th year on May 15th through 18th. Find out more at legendarycocoabeach.com. That's legendarycocoabeach.com. Find the full weekend schedule and buy VIP and premium viewing at cocoabeach.com.
Still getting around to that fix on your car? You got this. On eBay, you'll find millions of parts guaranteed to fit. Doesn't matter if it's a major engine repair or your first time swapping your windshield wipers. eBay has that part you need, ready to click perfectly into place. For changes big and small, loud or quiet, find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. But you already know that. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
And we're back. And we promised some examples of how these types of programs can go horribly wrong, despite the on paper best intentions of it all. And the optics that we were talking about how, no, look, this is a great program that's helping, you know, rehabilitate people, teach them skills, teach them discipline, and then reintegrate them back in society. And we're so good at it that we can accomplish what would a normal prison sentence of 4 years, we're going to get that done in 90 days, you know? Yeah. And also as a way of saying, this is better than the alternative. Long-term incarceration is just yielding more repeat offenders. This is different.
I'm laughing because when you said that, Noel, I'm picturing a DOJ report called "We're So Good at This."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. We did a good job.
We did a good job. 5 stars to us. So you're absolutely nailing it, man. These camps are based on military tactics, and any of our friends, neighbors, fellow conspiracy realists who have had the privilege of attending one of our fine nation's military intake programs, you know they're designed to break you down. Like, they're not designed to make you feel great about yourself on the first day. These programs, these SI shock incarceration programs, aren't that different. Anybody who's been to boot camp knows the first day sucks by design.
Right.
Sucks so hard. The drill instructors, we don't call them guards, right? They're instructors. They confront you as a first day inmate at one of these SI programs. You're given rapid orders about how you can speak, when you can speak, what are the rules, how do you talk to the instructors, how do you stand at attention, no, you're doing that wrong, no, you're doing that wrong, no, you're doing that wrong. It's a Gish Gallop kind of thing where they're just yelling at you. Gish Gallop?
I don't know this word. This is
It's
new.
A rhetorical device, G-I-S-H. It's a rhetorical device that helps you spot someone who is bad at arguing or arguing in bad faith. Because it's where it might be familiar to some opponents of the current administration. It's where you say a bunch of crazy shit. And you say so much that you try to shock and awe.
Yeah,
just debating.
It's like using a flash pod in Monster Hunter Wild. You know, they just kind of, oh, what's going on? I don't know which way is up.
Mm-hmm. But it's designed in these SI programs, especially that first day, it's designed so that you will mess up, so that you will not be able to successfully get things correct. And this is co-ed stuff. Men will have their heads shaved. Women will get, you know, a short military haircut. And it is meant to intimidate you. It is meant to frighten you, to scare you straight. The situation does not improve as time passes. Do we want to talk about like a typical day so we get a sense of what life is like for these folks in SI programs?
Yeah, if you're in one of the military versions of these types of programs, you get up before dawn, you get dressed, you clean your quarters, you march around, usually as an exercise, but also as, you know, the discipline stuff. You spend several hours doing all kinds of other exercises like calisthenics.
And I believe during breakfast, there's no talking aloud. There's some pretty specific guidelines around communicating with fellow cadets, I guess you could call them. From there, you got about 6 to 8 hours of actual hard labor, physical labor.
Yeah, this is like what people would experience at Camp Anawakey. This is very similar, like building things. You might go out, you might be constructing. It's usually constructing something. In Camp Anawakey's case, it was constructing something on the camp, like around the lake or something, that will eventually be used by all of your other fellow people that are there.
And weirdly enough, that's the positive end of the spectrum. Public improvement or work that actually matters, right? Like cleaning state parks, or if you're ever driving on a road in the U.S. and you see people maybe wearing the orange vest, right? Picking up trash on the side of the highway. Spoiler, they're not always volunteers moved by a sense of public good or the tragedy of the commons. These would be called public improvements in state parks and cleaning highways. On a negative note, this kind of public improvement labor has been repeatedly cited as modern slavery. It's a story for another day, and I propose we do a future episode on inmate rights in America.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it comes up plenty in terms of just regular conversation around the prison system. Mm-hmm. We talked about the firefighting program there in California and how, and we got some really excellent correspondence from folks on the inside of that saying, this is a positive thing. This can be a way of really changing my life and turning, you know, learning a thing and contributing. But then there's the flip side of it, which can be, sketch.
Slavery. My favorite. I love that you mentioned that, Noel. My favorite piece of correspondence we received from that is still our fellow conspiracy realist who described himself as an exotic landscaper.
There you go.
Remember
that
one? Yeah, that one's great.
Well, when we made Anawakey, we talked to several folks who could not say more positive things about their time at the camp and doing the hard labor and how it was the most positive thing they'd ever experienced in their life because of where they came from. So not exclusively because of where they came from, but because they said it was a positive experience overall for them. So it is one of those things, like, it sometimes is both.
Yeah, it turns out that humans are individuals. So applying the same brute force, broad brush tactics to people will not yield the same results across the board. That's true. And if we're following the day here, we'll fast forward. Like we said, they're working until, call it, late afternoon. Late afternoon comes, you are doing more exercises, drills, you're rehearsing ceremonies, because sometimes there's a graduation ceremony and your family's invited to attend. And then again, like was said earlier, you march in step to dinner. No conversation at dinner, by the way. After you eat, a lot of places will have the, I keep saying kids, I know that's not the entirety of the demographic here, but a lot of these folks are children. They are teens. They attend, if they go to a good one, they attend rehab programs until about 2100. And at that point, at 9 p.m. local, at that point, they have a brief period of time to do everything they can to get ready for tomorrow. This is rinse and repeat. And during all of these days, they are quite possibly abused for the entire time. Like the guards, we get to notable cases. There's a great piece from, or a great series of pieces by a journalist called Carrie Blakinger. She writes in particular about the Lakeview Shock Incarceration Correctional Facility there in New York, and she writes a lot about shock incarceration in New York State overall. And she has some harrowing stuff when she's talking, when she's writing about Sierra Saxby Smith's time in an SI facility. Maybe we could just pull a few quotes to give people the lay of the land here.
Yeah. So the guards are known as instructors, like you mentioned, are known to be verbally abusive, at the very least, psychologically abusive. As Carrie Blankinger puts it, writing about Miss Saxby Smith's time in the Lakeview Shock Incarceration Correctional Facility for NBC, guards taunted prisoners, calling them junkies and bad mothers, and made prisoners wear embarrassing signs. Oof. See, there's the humiliation stuff comes in, and eat food off the floor. What is this, Guantanamo? Sometimes prisoners spent hours moving log piles or cleaning sidewalks with toothbrushes. Some Full Metal Jacket. Ooh,
right. Yeah, let's pause there because this is the PSYOP aspect of
it.
When you make people, when you force people to labor,
dehumanize,
and you force them to do so with the clear recognition that what they are doing does not matter,
yes, exactly,
and is meaningless and useless. This is a time-tested torture tactic.
No question about it. And she goes on, once, Saxby Smith said, a woman got caught passing a note. So guards made her whole dorm walk in circles, holding mattresses on their heads for 10 hours until their scalps bled. Let that sink in. Just this humiliation of all of this is what strikes me. This is like some sadistic hazing type stuff. Not just traditional military drills. And we know hazing occurs in the military, but this seems like out in the open. I don't know.
Yeah. And it just, I want to bore us with personal anecdotes, but it's incredibly dangerous and damaging to engage in that tactic of useless work, useless forced labor. It's a thing that still happens. And to your point, Noel, it can be part of military hazing. It can be part of all sorts of organizations. And this, as you were saying, this does not sound rehabilitative. This does not sound like someone sitting down and saying, I'm going to give you some tough love to help you get on, you know, the quote unquote right path. This is pretty, beat me here, Andrew. This is pretty fucking evil. Is it not?
I would say it very much is.
Apologies. Yeah. I sound like I'm yelling.
It's some fetishy type shit, yeah. Man. Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, it's wild. This is a Marquis de Sade level. Like, what is that film? Solo? Where there's a certain... it's apparently not for the faint of heart. Yeah. I actually haven't seen it. But yeah. It is a Pasolini film that depicts a very military, like, kind of regimented... form of absolute humiliation and abuse. It sounds like this stuff, y'all.
It's just abhorrent. It's unclean.
It sounds like a messed up individual or several individuals who are power hungry, yeah, who are operating at that one facility. That's what it sounds like to me, and it makes me wonder how much of that goes on. Are there other instances of stuff like this happening?
Are they making videos?
Sure.
Sorry. I mean,
I think that's a good step back toward a middle ground, right? Because it may not be we're not saying everybody involved in this stuff is a villain, obviously. And we hope that is apparent, but to that point about bad faith actors finding an environment where they can successfully function as predators. You see that in religion. You, of course, see that in government. You see that in you see that in friend groups, right?
So Boy Scouts. We've talked about many different versions of that where people find their way in, where especially if they're young people that are vulnerable, those individuals will make their way.
Rehab facilities, another great example. And so that's why I think it's quite important that we pointed out the necessity of metrics or robust studies, which don't really exist for a lot of this stuff. And when we're talking about these cases, even people who say it changed their life for the better, they do recall exactly what you were describing, Noel: name calling, humiliation, emotional up to physical abuse by corrections staff. And by physical abuse, yes, we mean some of the worst stuff you can imagine happening to a person. Acts that would be considered violent crimes on the outside. Just to snapshot New York State alone, in 2013, there were reports of sexual assault carried out by one of the instructors. Right? No, we call them instructors, yeah, right? Not guards. Okay. Precisely. Okay. Yeah. This triggered a series of sexual abuse allegations across not just Lakeview, but the entirety of New York State. Fast forward 2017, an officer there at Lakeview, James Beam Jr., is charged with the sexual assault of an inmate at the facility. And the allegations keep coming as recently as 2020.
That's right. A federal lawsuit against Lakeview cited five separate incidents in which a female inmate was sexually assaulted and a correction officer attempted to cover the whole thing up, hide all evidence that the attack took place. And in multiple cases, this behavior exhibited by instructors or guards seemed to have led to actual deaths of inmates that were, you know, incarcerated in these programs.
Yeah, Jamel McIntosh was assigned to Lakeview's Intensive Alcohol and Substance Abuse Treatment Program, found dead in his cell in 2020. The case continues. And this occurred after the infamous case of Martin Lee Anderson. This is a kid. This is why the kid part is important to us here. This is a 14-year-old from Florida. Dies while incarcerated in Panama City, Florida, at the Bay County Boot Camp. The death of Martin Lee Anderson moves public sentiment. The public used to be for these things. Now they're increasingly against it because children are dying there, right? And there are not many things a 14-year-old should or can do that would qualify them to be murdered by the state.
Agreed.
For sure.
And this, I mean, there's so much more. Each of those is an episode on its own, but maybe we talk about the implications and the future as we wrap up this evening.
Well, yeah, let's quickly talk about when this gets instituted as part of sentencing, because there's some weird, I don't know why my search history is all about Missouri. I found most of the cases that I could find, like specific cases where shock detention was used, coming out of Missouri for some reason. I have no idea why. But here are a bunch of examples. A 42-year-old woman that was, she pled guilty to two different assault charges. And she was sentenced to 120 days of shock detention. And this takes place in a prison. So like in a Coal County jail there in Missouri. So it's just a whole different system, I think, they have in Missouri. I don't know if they send people to a specific place like Lakeview, like these, but they do appear to, at least during sentencing, to be sent to a county jail. There's another person, a 40-year-old man who broke parole, and he got sentenced to 120 days of shock and incarceration there in Missouri in Chariton County.
So 120, not 120, 180.
Okay. 120 days. And then you've got a child who was texting and driving. She caused a fatal crash, killed a woman driving her car while her grandchild was in the back. And she officially got sentenced to 2 days of shock time in a jail. which again, like, I don't understand how that works. I don't understand why it's so different. But there is one major notable case that I think we should talk about, because how does shock incarceration actually help this situation? You can do a quick Google search if you're, you know, if you're able to right now, for Phi Gamma Delta. This is a fraternity at the University of Missouri. They have chapters all over the place, but the specific one at the University of Missouri was doing some hazing, as they do, as they had a new group of people who were pledging to come in. And this young man, Danny Centulli, that's how you say his name, he was 19 years old. The frat guys there who were in charge of that specific fraternity, Phi Gamma Delta, instituted a thing where everybody had to drink as much alcohol as they could. Danny drank a whole bunch. He got alcohol poisoning, passed out, and then stopped breathing while he was there at the fraternity. Somebody calls 911. He gets picked up. He's undergoing cardiac arrest on his way to the hospital. Gets there. He ends up having severe brain damage. He loses the ability to walk and talk and is forever, you know. And also he loses sight because of this alcohol poisoning. So the reason why I'm bringing it up is because the sentencing, that was 2021, by the way, when that happened. The sentencing for the kids, I mean, they're mostly kids or very young men, right, who are there at this fraternity doing this hazing. Many of them, they got plea deals, several of them for 15 days in jail, at least one for 30 days in jail. But again, it's through these shock detention programs. So it's not just going to jail for 30 days. It's whatever this shock treatment program is. But how does that fix these fraternity brothers who just made a bunch of other, mostly young men, their age to drink a bunch? I guess just it's a weird gray area to me. I don't understand how it actually helps.
No. It's for kicks, sick, twisted kicks, man. That's what it feels to me. Gosh, like that's, there's no excuse for any, that's just, there's no world in which that is going to yield positive results. Can you imagine too, if these people were like, you know, predisposed or even had struggled with substance abuse, addiction problems?
Yeah.
It's just, it's so cruel. I just can't, I mean. Oof.
Yeah.
I think it would, just to interject here, one of the things that that really sticks out here is the question of who does it help? And that's really where the conspiracy hinges on. Is it meant to help the public? Is it meant to help the inmates or the people who are even, oh, by the way, we didn't mention this, in a lot of these places, folks who need psychological medication or even just basic physical medication for diabetes or whatnot are denied that medication. That's a known problem in the system. If we were to look at the money and ask ourselves qui bono, who benefits, then we would see that the people who tend to benefit the most are the politicians pushing for these programs, because they're fantastic for re-election, or they were up until about 2000.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and just, dude, yes, absolutely. Just to put a tiny bit more context on that fraternity case, most of the things that people were being charged for were misdemeanors, which hold a maximum of 30 days in the shock incarceration for a misdemeanor. So it does make me wonder just about, like, 30 days in jail for a misdemeanor. Doesn't that feel, I don't know. I don't know if that feels like much, like too much or not. I honestly don't know.
It's a long month, man.
It feels like it to me, especially if they're undergoing the stuff that we're talking about that goes on at Lakeview, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and multiple other places. Look, while this practice has been newly re-examined, we know that multiple states have pulled away from advocating for shock incarceration. The research that exists simply does not support the notion that shock programs work measurably, predictably better than, as was said earlier, regular prison. Instead, studies show the combative style of counseling that these programs rely on is pretty ineffective. It reminds me of the great, in a way, it reminds me of that great controversy where a psychological patient died while they were trying to like reenact their birth.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Where they like hold you down under a blanket and you have to struggle to be born.
Is that some sort of team building exercise? What is that about?
Well, it resulted in the death of someone. We'll follow up in the next episode just to cite that specifically. But this is the thing. It's based on tropes, right? We're going to scare you straight. We're going to put you in the military, give you some structure. Tropes are powerful, and it does sound great for re-election campaigns. But in this case, it appears being tough on crime all too often means an excuse to be a monster. That feels like the stuff they don't want you to know. We want to hear your opinions. We've endeavored to be very fair and fact-based in our exploration here. So please do tell us what's on your mind. Find us on the phone. Find us via email. Find us on the lines.
That's right. You can find us at the handle Conspiracy Stuff, where we exist on Facebook with our Facebook group. Here's Where It Gets Crazy on XFKA Twitter and on YouTube, where we have video content galore for you to enjoy. On Instagram and TikTok, however, we're Conspiracy Stuff Show. And there's more.
We have a phone number. It is 1-833-STDWYTK. It's a voicemail system. When you call in, give yourself a cool nickname and let us know if we can use your name and message on the air. Guys, really quickly before I jump off here, there's one thing I forgot to mention about that whole Danny situation. There's a new bill in Missouri called Danny's Law, and the father of Danny just spoke at the Missouri State House of Representatives to push for this Danny's Law. It's really interesting. I think you'll like it. Let us know what you think, maybe. The concept is to protect anyone who is in a situation who then calls 911 to get assistance for somebody, especially in a hazing situation. Like, it protects the person who finally raises a hand and says, hey, something's going wrong here, right?
So similar to like a Good Samaritan law.
Very similar. I think it's specifically for university hazing and that kind of thing. Anyway, give us a call, tell us what you think. Maybe you don't want to give us a call. Maybe you want to send us a good old fashioned email. We are
the entities that read each piece of correspondence we receive. Be well aware, yet unafraid. Sometimes the void writes back. Isn't that right, Dr. Astrologon? Who are we talking to? What are we talking about? Will we talk to you? There's one way to find out. Join us here in the dark, Conspiracy at iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Peace to the planet. I go by the name of Charlemagne the God, and guess what? I can't wait to see y'all at the 3rd annual Black Effect Podcast Festival. That's right. We're coming back to Atlanta, Georgia, Saturday, April 26th at Pullman Yards, and it's hosted by none other than Decisions, Mandy B, and Weezy, okay? We got the R&B Money Podcast with Tank and Jay Valentine. We got the Woman of All Podcast with Sarah Jake Roberts. The Funky Friday Podcast with Cam Newton. The Naked Sports Podcast with Carrie Champion. Good Moms, Bad Choices Podcast. The Trap Nerd Podcast. And many more will be on that stage live. And of course, it's bigger than podcasts. We're bringing the Black Effect Marketplace with Black-owned businesses, plus the food truck court to keep you fed while you visit us, all right? Listen, you don't want to miss this. Tap in and grab your tickets now at blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Proudly sponsored by Nissan.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Introducing Anabe Sofas, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices. Anabe brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabe is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slide right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today. Sofas start at just $699 with no risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off, plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Fresh Florida blueberries. In a world of jumbo-sized snacks and artificial flavors, Florida blueberries stand proud, bursting with antioxidants and ready to tackle hunger, one delectable bite at a time. From muffins to smoothies or straight out of the carton, they are the tiny titans of taste, delivering freshness as bold as they are blue, proving once again that good things come in small packages. To see what Florida blueberries can do for you, visit freshfromflorida.com today.
Happening now at legendary Cocoa Beach.
Fast boats, big parties, and hot concerts converge on Florida's Space Coast with the return of Thunder on Cocoa Beach. 4 days of racing and fun. Thunder on Cocoa Beach features Class 1 boats racing at speeds over 175 miles per hour. Thunder on Cocoa Beach, one of Central Florida's most popular family-friendly attractions, returns for its 16th year on May 15th through 18th. Find out more at legendarycocoabeach.com. That's legendarycocoabeach.com. Find the full weekend schedule and buy VIP and premium viewing at cocoabeach.com.